Paul Sir joins us. Paul, lots of basketball. You got the 3x3 t-shirt on. But
absolutely. Dress the part.
Really wasn't that competitive at the end of the day. Team Edmonton thoroughly dominating this and won the final 21-5. Almost like, I don't know if you have a mercy rule, but it was basically a mercy rule because you either played to 10 minutes or the first team to 21, and they schooled them with 4.5 minutes to go.
What was impressive about the win, Team Edmonton against Old Montreal, and Old Montreal has some really nice players, accomplished players, and they had even picked up fellow, his name escapes me, but he just played this past year, was an all-star, U Sports all-star. Very good player, but I'll tell you what, this group is special. This group is really special. Jordan Jensen-White, the young guy from Calgary, is about 6'5", 6'6", really long, very explosive, very athletic, really has picked the game up. Now, Jermaine Buchner is playing possessed. Kyle Landry at 6'10", I think his percentage for the weekend was, without any lie, about 90%. He made everything.
Jeez.
Finishing around the basket, sweet little fadeaways. And Steve really found the range. In the last three games, he was hitting everything. And they clicked on all cylinders. But I'm going to tell you who I'm going to give the most credit to, and that's Reagan Wood, head coach of men's basketball at Concordia. Reagan has watched every game they've played this year. He does all the analytics. He watches all the other teams on the global stage, and he's analyzed strengths, weaknesses, where the Team Edmonton team has to improve. They got in the gym together this week, and they worked on it.
And what was the area they needed to improve?
Ball movement, court spacing. Like, that's the great thing about 3x3 is you get to use the whole half court unless you're all standing on the same size, and then it's just the same as any other basketball game. But Reagan really got the guys moving without the basketball, screening, slipping, running some very nice off-ball actions, and it was marvelous to watch because by the end, the guys had found religion. So I have to really take my hat off to Reagan and the time and energy he put in, because his goal, just like our office's goal, is to support these guys and the women that just finished third in another tournament over in Europe, to help them find every way possible to have the best chance they can to make the Olympics.
Yeah, and we had Steve Sir on the show on Friday talk about Australian, and I know you weren't here, but he outlined basically there's only 8 spots for 3x3, for 8 on the women's side, 8 on the men's side, and Japan gets an automatic berth, and then on the men's side you've got China, Russia, and
Serbia.
Turkey, Serbia. Yeah, yep. So they're guaranteed pretty much. So that's 4, half the spots are done. Then there's one wild card spot that Canada really won't qualify for. So essentially they're going to go to the tournament. There's going to be 20 nations, 3 teams from that tournament, when they have their qualifier, are going to make it. Mm-hmm. So you look at that, like, that's a 15% chance amongst that. If you're just going on straight numbers, then obviously we'll see where they're ranked, but it's going to be difficult. So you got to tune right up and be set. And when is that tournament, Paul?
It's either February or April of next year.
Okay.
To get ready, yeah, to qualify for the Olympics. And in order to do that, you have to be in the top 20 in the ranking at the end of the season. So that means, and where Canada has a disadvantage is we don't have a lot of teams. We don't have any teams competing globally except Team Edmonton, men's and women's. Everything else is in local tournaments, with the occasional team, Winnipeg or Montreal, will go to maybe one international tournament. And then they're going to be playing this weekend in Saskatoon, hopefully in Montreal. But that's what Team Edmonton's doing, is they're making a very aggressive commitment to getting all over the world to play in these tournaments, again, to help Canada qualify for the Olympics. It's really, these women are just so dedicated, and they're putting in the time, and the vision that we have in Edmonton, I think, really is kind of pulling the country along with it, not to pat ourselves on the back. It's just the way it's been. We've been the most aggressive city for the past 10 years in 3x3, and the only city that's really committed time, resources, and now to have these athletes giving their all is really something, something that's easy to get behind.
Are there other cities calling, asking why you're doing this and making it happen?
No.
It's pretty, you're kind of on an island here.
Kind of on an island. Canada Basketball, to their credit, has really stepped up this year in their support. Not with resources, but with their support as the national sports organization. Montreal's trying to pick it up. Toronto is expressing some interest. Winnipeg has done some things, But Edmonton is the only city that really is giving her. Now, having said that, August 10th, Calgary has their first event coming up. Ottawa has their event at the end of August as well. So we're helping these cities get their events going, but clearly it's Edmonton, it's Team Edmonton that's leading the way and that are really pushing to give our nation a shot at the Olympics.
So you touched on, as we're joined by Paul Sir, Basketball Alberta, you touched on the fact that the guys have kind of found another groove and been able to push their game to another level. On the girls' side, have you seen the same? Because they're doing well. You mentioned the third place. I've been following along as well. Do they have room for that bump as well that you saw on the male side?
Yeah, I mean, for the first, it's really quite a remarkable story. First tournament, they finished fourth. Second tournament, they pretty much had the game. You know, it's not won until it's over, but they were real close to winning it. Finished second, and this last weekend they played real well the first day, not so well the second. But so second, third, and fourth finish in their first three. That's pretty much unheard of. But they, again, they have a lot of ground to make up because we don't have many women's, we don't have any women's teams playing 3x3 around the country. And so we're bringing in some women's events into what we're doing. We have an announcement we're hoping to have by the end of the week about a women's component to our Edmonton Challenger in September. But do they have another gear? Absolutely. Michelle Plouffe has been home after the first tournament with a broken finger. She won't. She'll be ready to go in early August. When they get Michelle back, they're going to be even better. I think by the end of the year, they're going to win a couple of events. They have a real good shot at that.
Paul Sir joins us, host of the basketball show here on TSN 1260. Quickly, Paul, your thoughts on the big trade since we spoke last. Chris Paul is no longer a member of the Houston Rockets. He's now a member of OKC Thunder. We'll see for how long. Russell Westbrook and the Beard are reunited. I think Westbrook's better than Paul flat out. So I think this makes him a better team. What do you think?
I do too. And one thing that Westbrook showed this past year, even though his shooting was still relatively inefficient, he was willing to defer to Paul George. And a big reason why Paul George finished third in the MVP voting was because of Russell Westbrook giving up the shots he had been taking for the previous years. So he's going to go in with James Harden, who's been scoring at a remarkable clip. I think he's going to defer, but he's going to bring more energy. And I think, Jason, you hit it right on the head. Chris Paul just plain hasn't been that good and didn't make Houston that much better. Not to diminish what will most likely be, in my mind, somewhat controversial, but what a lot of people feel to be a surefire Hall of Famer in Chris Paul. But he's not the Chris Paul he once was, and he hasn't been ever in his career the catalyst to take a team to the championship, into championship contention. I think Westbrook and I think Westbrook and Harden are going to be, if nothing else, entertaining. And I mean, the stew of D'Antoni with Westbrook and Harden, along with the other pieces that they have, is really, you know, they had to make a move. And I've read some analysts say this smacks of desperation. Well, yeah, but LeBron and AD are in with the Lakers, and Kawhi is now with Paul George with the Clippers. If they didn't do something, they're not going to be any better than they were last year with the same group.
The other thing I keep hearing from a lot of people is how, you know what, all the power in the NBA is on the players. And I'm like, I would clarify that by saying the power of the NBA is about maybe 10 players. And then the rest of them kind of sit there and wait to see, hey, you know what, I'm comfortable in this situation, but all of a sudden my teammate isn't comfortable and he's a star. Well, I guess I'm getting traded. Right, like it really comes down to that, does it not? Like the top 1%, maybe 10 guys in the league have a say.
Absolutely. This year is the prime example of who runs the NBA, and that's the best players in the NBA. And with the way that the contracts have gone with 40% of the league being free agents, and now having all that shifting around and all the sands shifting around based on where these superstars go, and then people start signing. Danny Green waits to see what Kawhi Leonard does, leaves the Raptors, goes to the Lakers. You're absolutely right, Jason. They hold the power. They hold the balance. I think it's an awkward spot for the NBA to be in. And I'm really curious of what Adam Silver is going to try to do, if anything, to make some sort of changes. But the hard part from Silver's standpoint is everybody loves the NBA. And all this chatter in the offseason is about the NBA. I mean, certainly the NFL gets its share. But really, in what you guys hear, has any league, any major league sport, received more attention than the NBA over this last year?
Oh, it's been crazy. And it's just been fun. It's been fun to see what they can do. But there's been so much chatter about it. And I was talking to Griggs. I was in Toronto when the night that Kawhi left.
Oh, really?
And we talked about it every day I got there when I arrived, and then the days after I left. It was on everyone's discussion. And I don't think that would have been the case a few years ago with the Raptors or the whole NBA.
When Chris Bosh left and went to Miami, it was a big deal, but it was like a drop in the bucket compared to Kawhi leaving. But on the heels of an NBA championship and all the attention, it's resulted in unparalleled amounts of talk about this league. So if you want good publicity, or if you just want publicity and you want attention, the NBA has no problems there.